If I hurt somebody else by, you know, beating them up or something, then somebody's going to beat me up later. And it's viewed as something that you do that hurts others, and it's in just viewed as like a law of the universe. Just like gravity is a law of the universe, it's just how the universe works. But there's nobody that makes gravity happen necessarily. I mean, we know that God is the one who created it that way. So it's similar in that this is just, they're saying this is how the universe works in cycles. The Bible, on the other hand, defines sin as disobedience to the supreme ruler and creator, the one who sustains and provides for our life every day, and the one to whom all worship, loyalty, and honor is due. In the Khmer religious system, sin is just something that you do to hurt other people, and it results in suffering coming around to yourself. But it has no idea of sin against God, which is the most important part of sin. And so you have to explain what sin is. You can't just say, all have sinned. Right. If you say, all have sinned, they'll say, yeah, everybody sinned. Everybody's done bad things to hurt other people, and eventually it's going to come around. But that doesn't mean all have sinned, all have rebelled against the one who created them and sustains their life. The one who is the one who has the right to rule and to judge in their life, who has an absolute standard of what is right and wrong. So because of a misunderstanding of sin, forgiveness and mercy are also misunderstood. Oh, yeah. If you don't understand sin, then how can you understand forgiveness?
That's right.
In Buddhism, the law of karma is unbreakable, just like the law of gravity. It's always there. And so, as a result, there are no exceptions. Every bad thing that you do will bring suffering into your life sooner or later. There is no way to escape the cycle. It's a very hopeless viewpoint on life. And so there is no forgiveness when you're talking. Now, there is forgiveness between people, you know, in a social situation. But when we're talking about the religious system and how they understand their world, there is no forgiveness of sin. Karma is going to keep coming around. And the only way to escape it is to continually accumulate good things, because the flip side of if you do bad, you get bad, is you do good, you get good. And so you have to keep accumulating through many, many lives and reincarnations, good, 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 all the time, good, keep doing good to people, until eventually all of the bad karma is served out. All the punishment, if you could say, is meted out. So that's the system and how it's different from the Bible. So they may use the words sin, use the word forgiveness, but you have to explain what you mean by sin, by forgiveness. God's unconditional self-sacrificial love is also a new concept. All of the deities that they worship, all the gods that they worship, have either passed into nothingness, like Buddha. They believe Buddha passed into nothingness and is gone. He can't help you. All he does is show you, he left his teachings, and he shows you the way to depend upon yourself to get to God, or to get to this realm of nothingness. Because Buddhism is all about escaping suffering. And they say to have a body is to suffer. And if you look around at life, to have a body is to suffer. You know, if you exist, suffering is a part of your life. So their answer is stop being, therefore stop suffering. That's the philosophical side of Buddhism. However, most people don't really want to go to what they call nirvana. Because nobody knows what it is.
There we go.
A cease of, into nothingness. You know, they're much more interested about getting money, accumulating possessions, accumulating wealth, accumulating power now. So they're much more about the here and now. But anyway, so you have no nobody that will not no God that is self-sacrificial love. That is a new concept. Buddha is not that way, certainly not. And all of the evil spirits that they serve are capricious and unpredictable. You never know when they're going to be upset at you. And so the concept of a creator God who is self-sacrificial in love towards people, despite man's rebellion against him, all of that is brand new. So I could go on with additional examples, but you can already see that explaining the gospel is more than just a simple matter of translating the words God, sin, hell, forgiveness, mercy, grace, love, heaven. They have all of these words, but they already have meanings within Buddhism. And so you have to very carefully define your terms. It's sort of like witnessing to a Catholic here in America. They may use the words grace, faith, some of these words, but what they mean by those words is different from what you mean by those words. And so that is why it is so important that we start, especially in Cambodia, we start teaching in Genesis. Chapters 1 through 3 in particular are critical to understanding the nature of God and of the world that he created, sin, the consequences of sin, as well as the promised deliverer who would restore man back to fellowship with God. If you think back to Genesis 1 through 3, you have the story of creation.
Yes, sir, we do.
It establishes God as the creator, everything else as the creation. Therefore, God is in charge.
Yes, he is.
He is the ruler, and everything and everyone is to submit to him. And then you also have Adam, who in the very beginning chose to rebel against God and listen to evil spirits, to listen to Satan instead. When you're talking to somebody who actively worships evil spirits, that means something. Because they have turned from the true and living God, the creator God, to worship evil spirits. And this is the first, you know, the father of us as humans, Adam and Eve, Adam in particular, chose to rebel against God, and so that is passed down from generation to generation. And so everyone, everywhere, born in rebellion against the ruler of the universe, against the Creator, who still sustains our life every day, and instead, separated from him. And so not just that, but in the beginning, very, very soon, like right after Adam and Eve rebelled against God, God promised the deliverer. So you can see the nature of sin, of the creator, of the promise of a coming savior. All of it is all in Genesis 1 through 3. And so that's where we start in preaching the gospel, because it's important to lay the foundation. And then you can understand the gospel. So, these issues, sin, forgiveness, mercy, you know, the nature of heaven, hell, of God, and all of this, something that we work through little bit by little bit as we teach them the truth of God's word. What a privilege it is to help to introduce people to God, to the God who created them and sustains their life every day. I tell you, there's nothing like, and I've had this experience, I'll tell a little bit more about it this evening, of teaching someone who has no background at all in Christianity.
Wow.
So you go through and you talk about Exodus,
yes,
and the plagues that God brought on the Egyptians.
Yes, sir.
And they're like, what's going to happen next?
Yes, sir.
A story of Joseph,
yes,
even. You know, how he gets sold into slavery and he's had these dreams. So what's going to happen next?
Yeah, I hear that.
Or story of Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
On Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
So there's this big, you know, meeting and who's, you know, they're two are supposed to call down fire from heaven. What's going to happen?
Yes,
You know, this is, it's exciting when you, it gives you, you know, a fresh appreciation of all of these Bible stories that we've, you know, known, many of us have known since childhood, to be able to explain them to somebody who's never heard them before. And it's such a privilege to introduce people to the God that we serve. You know, many times we think of missions as a spiritual rescue mission to help save people from eternity in hell. That is absolutely true.
Yes, sir.
But it is so much more than that. See, missions is not just about helping people come from worshiping false gods to and headed to hell to being headed to heaven. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than that. In fact, I would argue that the salvation of souls is a secondary byproduct of a bigger purpose of bringing honor and glory to the Creator God. See, this is God's purpose. In fact, we say, what is the end goal and purpose of man? Let me ask that question again. What is the end goal and purpose of us as human beings? It is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, especially the glorifying God part. So, where does the downward progression into heathen darkness start? It starts when people do not glorify God. Because this is our primary purpose. And the descent in heathen darkness starts when we deviate from our designed purpose.
Yep.
Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In this verse, we again see the role that creation plays in demonstrating who God is. Specifically in this verse, it says His eternal power and Godhead, that there is a God, that He's powerful, that He is the ruler of the world, of the universe, and we are responsible to Him. That is clearly seen. It's not hidden. It's clear. The proof of creation. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So let me ask the question. Is the problem knowledge? No. Because they knew God, but they were not willing to glorify Him. Now, obviously, our purpose as missionaries is to go and to give them knowledge. You know, they need the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior in order to be saved. But according to Romans 1, whether it's in America, whether it's in Cambodia, whether it's in Europe, Africa, South America, it doesn't matter. Everyone has a certain level of knowledge of God. And everyone who is not saved is in rebellion against that knowledge. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. This is the beginning of the descent into heathen darkness. It's choosing not to glorify God as God and to worship Him. So verse 21 again, because that when they knew God, number one, they glorified Him not as God. Number two, neither were thankful. The Creator God that provides the air for them to breathe, the food for them to eat, the strength to live, that sustains our very life, say, no, I will not glorify Him. That is what you call an unthankful heart. And so the people that we are witnessing to, they have chosen to not glorify God, not worship Him, and not be thankful to the one who is the who provides them the sustenance for their life, who is the one who is, as the Creator God, has provided life for them. Neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So you can see it just continues to go down. And as you read through the rest of Genesis 1, it just continues and continues to go down. Where did it start? They chose, even though they knew that there is a Creator God, they chose not to worship Him, chose not to glorify Him. And in verse 25, you can see it at the beginning of this paragraph and at the end. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served what? The creature, that which God created, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So the problem is not so much that people do not have enough knowledge, although that is an important component. Rather, the problem is that people are in rebellion against the knowledge that they already have. Psalm 19, and you don't need to turn there. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The idea is that God's creation speaks to people no matter what their language, no matter what their location on the earth is. In fact, it continues on talking about the sun. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So the idea is, as the sun moves, or as the earth rotates, and we see the sun on every part of the earth, so God's truth, revealed in creation, that He is the Creator God, also covers the earth. So if the beginning to the descent into heathen darkness starts with the refusal to glorify and worship the Creator God and be thankful for what is provided, then what are we trying to bring people back to?
That's right.
Glorifying God, worshiping Him.
Yep.
And salvation is a component of that. It is an important, critical part of it. But it's not all that there is. See, it's not just getting people saved. It's bringing people to be followers of the Lord and to worship and to glorify Him, which was their original purpose, which was the point at which they departed from God in the very beginning. Mankind did with Adam's fall, and each person who is born follows the same path. We are bringing people back to worship the one true God, to worship the one who created and sustains their life every day, to be thankful to Him.
Amen.
We live in a world designed and sustained by the living God. Every day, people reject the knowledge that they have, in many cases actively blaspheme His name as they continue to use the world that God created and use that world to replace Him. You see the depth of the rebellion of the created race, of the human race in general. See, it goes beyond just hurting people. This is a deep-seated rebellion against the One, against the Creator God. Even though He sustains their life, yet they take the things that He has created and set them up and worship them instead of worshiping the Creator. God ought to be known. He ought to be worshiped by everyone everywhere because He alone is God.
Yes, sir.
This has always been the primary motivation for God's program of salvation, to show forth His glory for all to see. You know, why did God create everything the way it is? Because it is His purpose to show forth His honor, His glory, that His name would be praised. And not just by a small group of people in one place. His desire is that the whole world would hear, that the whole world would know, that the whole world would worship Him. And I'm going to, you don't need to turn to all these verses. If you like to write down references, you can get out a pen and be ready. I'm going to go through a number of verses, both from the Old and New Testaments, Amen. That prove this, that this has always been the primary motivation of God's program of salvation, to show forth His glory for all to see. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Isaiah 52, verse 10. The Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Good. Isaiah 66, verses 18 through 19. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, that draw the bow, and to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 19 through 21. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted Him, speaking of Jesus, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. I could continue with other passages of Scripture, but this is just a selection. Mm-hmm. As you see, from the beginning to the end, that God's purpose is that we as people would honor and glorify him. And when we honor and glorify him, put him first in our life,
yes, sir,
then we are fulfilled. You know what the devil's lie is? Mm-hmm. Do what you want to do.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be fulfilled.
Absolutely.
And as a result, we live in a nation of people that are empty.
Amen.
Empty. Why? Not because they're not able to do what they want to do. Empty because they are not fulfilling the purpose that God created them for, which is to worship and honor and glorify him.
Amen.
You even have many Christians mm-hmm. that are empty and struggling in their life. I've been there too, many times.
Amen.
Until God speaks into my heart through his word.
Amen.
Says, who's this? What's your life all about? What's the purpose?
Amen.
I thought, yeah, you're right. To the Lord.
Amen.
It is about you. My life is not about me. It's about you.
Mm-hmm.
He is the creator. He is the one who's not just the creator. He's the savior. And as a result, he deserves my life because my life is no longer about me. It's about him.
That's right.
Your life ought to be no longer about you, but about him.
Amen.
And what are we doing in missions? Not just trying to tell people the gospel so that they can escape from hell and go to heaven.
Right.
It's so that they also would join us in worshiping and honoring and glorifying the Lord, which is also what is fulfilling. It's fulfills their purpose. It is what brings us the greatest joy, deep down joy and happiness and fulfillment in our life. It is truly what is best for us.
Amen.
So it is important to remember to thank and to praise the Lord for who he is as well as what he has done for us. You know, worship is not just something that we do on Sunday in a church service. Worship is an attitude of the heart that affects everything that we do.
Amen.
A worshipful heart is a thankful heart of praise that remembers the debt that we owe to the Lord. Remembers the debt because he is creator and we use what he has created. In fact, he sustains our very life. And a debt because he has saved us and delivered us from our heart of rebellion against him, and instead has brought us into his family and adopted us as children.
Amen.
A worshipful heart remembers this and is thankful to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that worshipful heart will deliver us from following the same destructive path as everybody else in this world system. Remember in Romans chapter 1, where did the departure into heathen darkness start? Started with not worshiping and honoring and glorifying God. Sometimes, even though we are saved, we can still follow some of the same path. if we are not worshiping, putting Him first, honoring Him, being thankful to Him, we fall into the same destructive lifestyles as the world. So this heart of worship in everything that we do will help deliver us from following that same destructive path. It will also motivate us in sharing the gospel.
Amen.
You know, I listened to the Arizona Wildcats last night. I heard some people talking about it out in the foyer. I'm born and raised in Tucson, so you know, this is something that we're excited about, so we talk about it.
That's right.
You know?
Amen.
And people that you love, you want to introduce people to them.
Yes, sir, we do.
So when it comes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
When we are living a lifestyle of worship and honoring and glorifying Him, mm-hmm. then it becomes natural outflow to witness to people,
Amen.
Not just because we have to,
right.
but because we want to.
Mm-hmm.
And not just so that they can be saved, although that's an important part, but so that they can join us in worshiping God too.
Praise Amen. The Lord, hallelujah.
See, as is clearly seen in these verses, God's desire and purpose mm-hmm. is to make His glory known to all people.
Here we go.
Even in the Old Testament, many times we don't think of the Old Testament as a missionary, as missions material necessarily. We usually, in missions conferences, we preach out of the New Testament. We preach on the Great Commission and other things. But if you look at it, it's all through the Old Testament.
Yes, sir, it is.
See, God's heart is that, and His desire is that His glory would be known to all.
Oh, yes, sir.
So when we are going across the street or around the world, we are joining God in what He wants to do.
That's right. That's right, brother.
See, we're not trying to persuade God to do something that we want to do. We are joining Him in what He wants to do. And so we can trust that He is already working ahead of us. And not only that, but that as we join Him, that Amen. He will accomplish the work.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that everybody's going to be saved, but it does mean that everybody can know that there is a Creator God. And that they would know that He is the true God. And that even if they choose to reject Him, they know God's glory.
Amen. Amen.
So, tonight, I will be sharing a little bit more about what God has given us the privilege to do in to partner with Him in Cambodia,
Amen.
And also about our desires as far as the future, where we want to go and where we believe the Lord is wants us to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really encourage you and ask you that you would partner with us
Amen.
In prayer
Amen.
As we go to this area that you guys, as a supporting church and as, you know, the connection that means, and us and the Lord
Amen.
Working together, cooperating together,
yes,
which
sir.
Is what God wants us to do,
right.
would make a difference in this particular slice of Cambodia, Amen. Which I'll be talking more about that.
Amen.
But it's all about telling people who God is.
Yes, sir. It is.
And then, through as they believe in Him, leading them to also worship the one true God. How big a deal is it to you that people in your community, people that you know,
mm-hmm.
coworkers,
yes, sir.
Other people on your street, people that you have relationships with, that they don't praise and thank the Lord, in other words, glorify Him as they should? How big a deal is it
wow.
to you? It ought to be a big deal to us because it is a big deal to God.
Yes, sir, it is.
And what is important to God ought to be important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to Him that all would know who He is
mm-hmm.
and that all would come and worship and glorify Him. You know, everyone according to Philippians, which we read before,
yep,
eventually will come and worship.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is worship now, while there is still hope of salvation,
mm-hmm, exactly,
or worship later,
mm,
when there is no hope.
Wow.
I'll read that verse again in closing. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow.
Mm-hmm.
Saved, unsaved,
yep,
all eventually, one day, will bow the knee to Jesus.
Oh, yes.
And recognize that he is the Creator and the Savior. But only some bow the knee now.
That's right.
And only some will be saved.
Wow.
So our desire is to witness to people so that they would be,
yeah,
worshipers now,
mm-hmm,
instead of at the judgment falling,
right,
in worship.
That's right.
But lost for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, this is the Sunday school lesson for this morning. So, last Pastor White to come.
That was good. That was good, Mrs. Dawson. That was good.
Amen. Thank you for this.
Amen.